This call is being recorded.
Hello, everyone. This is the Cooking Without Looking TV show podcast. I'm Renee Rentmeester. I'm creator and executive producer of the TV show and the podcast. And today we are going up north. And when I say up north, I'm really up north to Canada, Ontario, Canada. We've got our special international guest, Shandy Ann Potter McDonald. Hey, Shandy Ann.
Hi, how are you? Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Well, that's great. How's the weather up there? Is it snowing yet? Has it snowed?
It has snowed a little, but not much. Like, I think maybe we have an inch of snow. It's been weird. It's been warm, and then it gets cold, and then it warms up again. But we are expecting some freezing rain at some point today. So, yeah, so I don't know how long that freezing rain is going to last, but that's what the weather person has told us today. So we'll see.
Well, being from Wisconsin originally, I'd rather have the snow than the freezing rain, quite honestly.
Oh, I know, because for a little while, we did have a lot of really cold, freezing rain, and my husband works outside in it. And I said to him, wouldn't you just rather the snow? And he's just like, no. I was like, why not? It's so much better. And it's pretty. It makes everything look so just fresh and new, you know?
Magical. There's like a magic snow, I think.
Literally, the song Winter Wonderland it pegs the name well. It is a winter wonderland. It was really interesting when the ice storm of 98 hit. It was really pretty, but also really dangerous.
Oh, I know. People don't know how to drive in snow.
No, and it's funny enough, people who have lived here, I know my whole life here in Canada, and they still, the first snowfall, they freak out like they've never been in the snow before. And I'm like, it comes every year, guys. Come on. You know what to do.
It's not like you're in Miami and it starts snowing, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, so the weather so far is just cold.
Oh boy. Well, Shandy Ann, do you like to be called Shandy or Shandy Ann?
You can just call me Shandy. That's
Okay, Shandy. Well, tell us about your journey, your vision journey.
Oh, okay. I guess I should start when I was 6 years old. I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes in Halifax, Nova Scotia. I was there visiting family, and my body started to shut down. And by the time I got to the hospital, I couldn't walk.
Wow.
So that was my trip to Nova Scotia. I was in the children's hospital for about 2 weeks, and that was the beginning of what I would start my vision loss thing. So I was a type 1 diabetic at the age of 6, and then at the age of 17, I was also diagnosed with hypertension, which, if people are familiar with that, it can damage your kidneys eventually if you can't get it under control. I got it under control for a while, but then it started to spike again. And this is kind of where the vision loss also came into play. I started getting sick often, and I think that was the start of kidney disease showing up. And also my sight started to change. And so I was about 23 when they diagnosed me with diabetic retinopathy and started monitoring my eyes. And I would have to get injections every month in my eyes. Laser treatment, you know, the
you
whole
so
nine
young.
Yards.
You were so
I
young
really
to be
young.
Doing this.
I know. Well, my diabetes as a teenager was not kind to me. It was very difficult to get in control. I will admit, I'm not going to pretend like I was a perfect diabetic. I was a rebellious teenager at some point. Sure. And I'm sure a lot of young diabetics can relate to that. There is a point where you kind of go, I don't want to be told what to do or what to eat, or I just want to be a normal kid kind of thing, right?
Right, right.
I now know that contributed to a lot of the problems I have today. So if anyone's listening and they're younger and they're kind of going through this, just keep this story in mind, really. Because it is a really crazy story that I've gone through. So at 23, they started doing injections, and then I also started showing signs of kidney disease. So I was constantly in the hospital. At first, they thought it was something called cyclic vomiting syndrome, which is related to another thing called gastroparesis. Cyclic vomiting syndrome is common among diabetics who start to develop this thing called gastroparesis, which is basically slowing of your stomach. Your nerves are basically, they're just not working the same anymore. So it's hard to process food and stuff like that. And if not taking medication to help with it, it does cause you to get sick and start vomiting and stuff like that. And sorry to talk about that on a cooking podcast, but it is a really crazy thing that happens. And so that started happening with me. And then it started happening like once a month, every month. And so that started to contribute, I think, to the stress on my body and then causing the failure of my kidneys. By the time I was 24, I was put on dialysis.
Oh my God.
And needing a kidney transplant. And I was starting to lose my sight, like worse and worse. Like by the time I was 24, my right eye, my right retina had detached, and they did a reattachment surgery right before my 25th birthday.
Oh my God.
And yeah. And yeah, so that it was a successful one, but then there was a stitch left in my eye that I guess the doctor forgot about, or I'm not sure what I really can't remember. It's so foggy at this point, but it caused the retina to fully detach about our Thanksgiving weekend, October 12th of that year.
Wow. And you're so young when you're going through all of this.
Yeah. And well, they say, usually they say with type 1 diabetes, after 10 years of having it, it's going to start to show. Like symptoms are going to start to show up, effects are going to show up on your body and stuff like that. So by the time I was 17, that was 10 years. And that's when I got diagnosed with the hypertension and stuff, right? So,
sure, we always think of that with someone as someone with who's older.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. You would think you do commonly, like when I was in the dialysis unit, I was the youngest person there. Let's put it that way. There was not too many. There wasn't too many young people that I had met that were on dialysis, at least not on the time that I chose, because there was about three different shifts you could choose throughout the day to get your dialysis. And I always did first thing in the morning.
So just to get it over with, right?
Right. Well, yeah. Well, if you do it at 7 a.m, you're done by 11. You can sleep through the whole thing. So because they give you a bed and everything. So I'm like, oh, I'll just get up, go there and sleep through it. And then by the time I'm home, I'm okay. I feel better because I've had the hemodialysis. I don't feel like so groggy and tired and overall just crummy. Right. So it wasn't too bad. I only did it for 9 months, though. And then I got a kidney transplant.
Well, how did you get to this point where you are today?
Oh, a lot of support, a lot of like my family. Oh my God. My family is, they're a group of guardian angels. That's all I can say. I got to be really thankful for them.
That's wonderful.
My husband, I met him actually in between my eye surgery in July and being on hemodialysis. Our first date was in the hospital.
Oh my God. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I was a friend of his niece, and they're a little closer in age. He's the baby of the family. So his niece and I got along really well. And she said, I think you should meet my uncle. I think you two would hit it off. And so we started talking on the phone. And then I kept being sick in the hospital. And so he's like, that's it. That's all. I'm going to have to come to the hospital to see you. So, and we've been together ever
really
since
sweet.
That day.
Oh my gosh.
And he stood by my side through it all. So I have to be really thankful, because it takes a real man to stand up, like to know the condition I'm in and to know how sick I was. And he's been by my side ever since. It's crazy. So I have a lot to be thankful for, a lot of it's them being there for me. My cousin is who gave me my kidney, and she's a year younger than me, and me and her grew up basically as sisters. We were always together.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's really wonderful. And how long have you and your husband been married?
We just celebrated our second wedding anniversary in September. But we've been together for 6 years.
Oh, okay.
And we got married on our anniversary. So,
well, you know what? You mentioned something earlier that I was interested in. You said that when you were sighted, you were a totally different person than when you lost your sight. Did you want to go on and grab that a little bit?
Sure. I guess when I was sighted, I would say I maybe took my sight for granted, that's for sure. There's a lot of things I wish I did that I can't do now, that's for sure. I was an artist. I was in college for marketing and advertising for a year, and I was planning to go back and do that. But now that's completely changed, because I wanted to be advertising copyright. And now I'm not sure how I'm going to do that. So I've continued with my art work, but, I've changed it completely of how I do it being blind.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. When I was sighted, I was in my young 20s and stuff like that. I was a typical young person experiencing life. I was a lot more social, that's for sure. I don't go out. Well, COVID's hit now, and I definitely don't go out. But when COVID was non-existent, and if it was non-existent now, I would still probably not be going out like I used to when I was in my young 20s. I don't like large crowds.
Right. Well, I'm with you there. And mm-hmm. I don't mind telling
especially
you
being
that.
Blind.
Yes. What is that? What is that experience like to be blind and then be in a large crowd?
It can be really confusing and intimidating. What can I explain? I've been to a few. I went to a Guns N' Roses concert. Okay. About 4 years ago, and I was blind, it was fun, but it was really I was really nervous, because it's easy to get lost in the crowd. So I was very had a very good grip on my husband. I was like, no, I'm not. Don't lose me. Just if I get lost, I will not know where anyone is. And no one knows how to handle a blind person. Like, people act like you're almost an alien in some cases. Like I speak a total different language and they don't know what it is, or you know what I mean? It's just
right.
No one knows how to deal with you.
They don't know what to do. Well, what would you tell a sighted person when they come across a blind person in the crowd who might have gotten a little turned around?
Honestly, it would be, you would have to, I guess, if they were approaching me from behind, a nice tap on the shoulder and saying, Miss, are you okay? Or, you know, do you need assistance? Like, we're okay if you ask us something. We're not going to bite your head off. we're going to be thankful that you felt comfortable enough to approach us, you know? Sighted person, I was aware of blind people. My great grandmother was blind and my dad's mother was blind. So the great grandmother was on my mom's side, and then my dad's mom was blind as well later in life, and she went blind to glaucoma as well. And my great grandmother went blind in the Halifax explosion many, many years ago.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and she was actually, interestingly enough, the first woman in Canada to receive a cornea transplant, and it was successful.
Wow, yes. Oh, mm-hmm. my God, that's tremendous. So you mm-hmm. were aware, but... so
I was so aware and knew how to deal with it, yeah.
Well, so tell us about your cooking skills now. The getting you the old cooking without looking part.
Okay. Honestly, I love cooking. So I love making a lot of things. So what I chose to talk about today, I guess, was my grandmother from the Halifax explosions, shepherd's pie. Now it's, just to kind of tell you how I cook and stuff. I use my hands a lot. And spatulas and pans, you know, all the same usual cooking utensils. But I will say I do burn my fingertips and my hands a lot because I'm just daring like that and like to stick my hand in the pot.
Oh boy. We had a man on our show that was like you. He was sticking his hands in the pot all the time. People were freaking out. It's like, well, this is what he does.
Yeah, like, don't worry, guys, I wash my hands. Every interaction with the food, my hands get washed afterwards. There's no transmission of uncooked bacteria. Don't worry. I'm very crazy about that. Of course, being a transplant recipient, I'm also immune compromised. So I have to be really, really, really careful. So my house sure. is pretty, yeah, like, pretty clean. Don't worry, guys. But, honestly, I will touch the pan and burn my fingertips, but to be honest too, being a diabetic, they're kind of calloused from testing my blood sugar for so many years, so it doesn't affect me that bad. But I do cook a lot of casseroles. I like to cook curry because my husband is Scottish, so he loves curry.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, they love curry. It's like this, I don't know, it's a big deal over there, I guess. So
who knew?
I never liked it. I never liked it until I met him, but he makes a mean curry. So I have to say he's a pretty good cook himself.
That is an acquired taste, isn't it?
It is an acquired taste, but if they make it right, it's really good. Like sometimes, like a lot of places here where I live, their curry is not that good. It's not. Yeah. Yeah,
it's but authentic.
It's there's some places that do make it authentically, and I think other places do try to and don't succeed as well. but I'm not going to list any names or any places, but because I don't really go to them. But there was one time I went to a place and I didn't enjoy it as much. So, but my husband does make a way better curry than that place.
Well, that's good.
His mom is quite the cook too. So, and she. So she's going to know how to make it, of course. But I make a lot of casseroles. I make a lot of curry. I make a lot of just like your basic meals, I guess. But anyways, like I said, I was going to talk about my grandmother's shepherd's pie, which classic shepherd pie calls for lamb, but I make it with ground beef.
Sure.
Lamb is, again, an acquired thing, right?
Right.
Yeah. So usually I just... in a skillet, cook up ground beef with some onion. Always, you know, you wait to put the onion in after the beef's cooked, of course. And then if you have like beef stock mix, You just put a little bit of that in your beef and add a bit of water and some flour to thicken it up like a gravy. It's pretty easy. It's really easy once you start making it. And then I use canned cream corn. There's always like someone's always different. Depends. If you don't like corn, people will do carrots and peas. But I do canned cream corn. It adds a really nice flavor to it.
And a different texture too. It makes it a little creamier, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And then so for the diabetic friendly part of it, instead of mashed potatoes on top, I do mashed cauliflower. And it presents a lower carb value. And it's actually pretty good. And if you want to add hot sauce in it or cheese, that's always fun. And it adds a nice like extra flavor if you're someone who likes to add spice to your meal.
Sure. Well, that sounds wonderful. So did your grandma put the hot sauce in?
No, that is something that I developed later with my cousin who gave me the kidney. One time I was at her apartment, I was like 20, I think. I went there after work and she was making shepherd's pie. And she goes, I just threw some hot sauce in the mashed potatoes. And I was like, that is such a good idea. And it actually tasted great.
Oh, yeah. It kicks up the flavor. So she gave you not only a kidney, but a recipe, too.
I know. Yes. And she literally is my best friend. I maybe have like three really good friends in my life. But she's been around since day one, you know? Well, sure. I've been around in her life since day one because she's a year younger than me. But yeah, I never anticipated her ever giving me a kidney. So big shout out to her. Big thank you to her. You know,
that is amazing. That's a beautiful story. Like you say, your family is your guardian angel, you know, angels, all of them. But
my mom especially. Oh, my mom is, she's a fighter, man.
Yeah. Was she a fighter first or did she become more of a fighter after, you know, dealing with all the issues that you needed to deal with?
You know what? It was when I became a type 1 diabetic and my grandmother said to her, you're going to have to tell the doctors what's up. Like, you're going to have to say, no, this is what's going on. Like, you can't just let them kind of say, this is it. You have to speak up and you kind of have to vouch for what's going on, because my grandmother, her oldest daughter, my aunt, was born without an immune system. So she was like the bubble boy kind of. And so, so she had experience being in the hospital with a sick child for a long, long time. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So when that happened to me, my grandmother was present. She was with us and she said to my mom that. And so my mom knew. And so it was after I became diabetic and after all this happened, my mom knew. Like, I was too sick to speak for myself. Sometimes I wasn't even conscious. So she became my power of attorney because I was an adult by the time this was all happening. I had to appoint someone who could act upon me if I couldn't. And she's the one who got me to Toronto General Hospital for the kidney transplant. She's the one who found out how to get there, where, what to do and everything. I mean, she was the leader of the clan, I would say.
and your staunchest advocate.
Yes. And just, we got involved with a program too that we have here in Kingston where I live, and they're called the Transplant Advocacy Group.
Mm-hmm.
And they gather together and advocate for people who are anticipating transplant, receive transplant, or people who don't know about transplant and need help. So they advocate and help and guide them.
Wow, that is so necessary, no matter where you live. That's because obviously none of us, that's not in any of our playbooks, well, how to get a transplant. No one knows until you're in that situation. And that's such a dire situation in most cases.
I know. And so I joke with my mom all the time because we have a friend who's a writer and she keeps saying, we need to write a book. And I'm like, I think we should write a book called Your Guide to the Kidney Transplant. Like, this is what you need to do, and this is what you need to anticipate, and this is what you can do and find. And oh yeah, they need a little hand booklet for people.
Oh my gosh, that does sound like a great idea. It's like I have three people in my life right now who are, you know, one is in kidney dialysis. One of the gentlemen who work with us, he is totally blind as well. And he is waiting for a kidney. His son is going to give him his kidney, but he's like, you know, he had to lose weight. There were all different things he could do before he could give that kidney.
Oh yeah, there's all kinds of things you have to do because you have to get worked up for it all and everything. And especially I think with the pandemic going on, it's probably postponed a lot of people. And it's really unfortunate because it is dire. Like by the time I had my kidney transplant, I was on the end strip of what I could handle. I had ended up in the ICU about 2 weeks beforehand. I had an allergic reaction to a contrast dye and it nearly killed me. And it was really bad. And it's just like, when I got that kidney, I was so thankful because I knew if anything else happened, I probably wouldn't have not made it. So it's just like, it is dire.
Well, what kind of, what philosophy would you leave with everyone listening? What kind of thoughts do you have for them?
Oh man, I could say all kinds of stuff. honestly, you just got to breathe through it. That's my big thing. Just breathe. Take it step by step. You know, life is going to throw you curveballs and you're really going to, you know, you're not going to know if you're going to knock it out of the park or what, right? So really, you just take your time and be patient. I know it feels like you got to rush it, but take it step by step and you'll get where you need to be. And just put your faith in yourself and the people around you and you'll be fine. You'll make it, you know, people are in the same situation I've been in. You know, you'll be fine.
You know, I've asked that question of a lot of people and everyone who ever has answered me, it doesn't matter if you're blind or you're sighted. The philosophy works on everyone.
And I often try being in those blind groups, which is where, of course, I met you. That's where I try to help encourage people when they're down. If people are having a hard day, you know, you try to tell them, like, you just got to remember there's been worse days.
And you've made it through them.
Yeah, you make it through. You're still breathing. Remember, feel your heartbeat. You feel it. You see you're breathing. You're okay. You've made it. You're all right. You're breathing. You're alive. So you got to be thankful for that.
And that's true. How do people get to connect with you? Your email, what would you like to leave with that?
They can connect with me. Yeah, I'd say email. Because I'm not good about my Facebook, so I won't say Facebook. I can neglect my Facebook for days and not know about it, so I won't say that. I'll say my email.
Sure. What is it?
So it's all in a lowercase. Shandy Max. So that's spelled Shandi, M as in Mary, AC, and then the number 1@gmail.com.
Well, that's wonderful. It's been a pleasure, a true pleasure having you on, Shandy. And yes. I want to try that. Thanks. Of course, yeah. I want to try that shepherd's pie with the hot sauce because I do make shepherd's pie, but you know, with the traditional, the potatoes and things, not the lamb, the ground beef. I have made with so I'm gonna try it with that hot sauce.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's nice. It adds a little spice to your life, you know.
And that's what we all need. Yes. Thank you again to Shandy Ann Potter McDonald. This has been the Cooking Without Look TV show podcast. You're welcome. You're very welcome. And our website is www.cookingwithoutlookingtv.
Bye-bye.com.
And that's my grandson. He just popped in.
Bye-bye.
And have a wonderful day. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.